So we were flying along there with the autopilot engaged and all that stuff, and I'm reaching into the back seat, getting another one. And when I bring it up, I hadn't had that computer very long, and it had a used battery in it, so I didn't realize I hadn't charged it in a while, so the battery was only about 5 or 10 minutes. And I started the computer. We got a picture. I saw where I was. Everything's going good. And about 10 minutes, it says, you need to change the battery. It's almost down. I thought, no, no, that's what's wrong. I don't have a power supply now. So, and so then about another 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, that one went out. And so now we got 2 GPSs and neither one of them work. And so I said, okay, Lord, we're close enough to Dallas. I can wing it from here on. I didn't remember the frequencies. It's been so long since I've used all the VORs and that kind of stuff. I had forgotten the frequencies because I depend on seeing them on the screen. Now the screen's black. So in the rain, we come on across there. We finally get, we descend and get down where I can see the ground. And we're flying along there. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know where I'm at now. And so we get over to the north end of Northwest, and I line up on a runway, and it's just about quit raining, but the runway's, slick, and it's wet and everything. And I said, okay, Lord, I got it now. I've had all these tests. Now, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. Never, or never, never, because he's helping me. I'm getting there. I'm praying, praising him, and he's getting me down through this, bring me out to the right place. Everything's perfect. And then when I get lined up and I said, on final, short final, I said, okay, Lord, I got it. I can handle it from here on in. And the minute we touched the ground, the airplane turned sideways on the runway, on that slick runway. And, of course, that's kind of, and immediately I said, Lord, I don't have it. I got to have some help. And immediately the airplane straightened right up, and we went right down the runway, and we taxied back. I told him, I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't have it till we get it in the hangar and get it down, locked up. I don't have it. I got to have some help. So he said, okay, if you think you got it, let's see how good you can do without me. Well, I didn't do too good without him. But with him, it worked out real well. So let me tell you, life is just a series of tests. I don't care what you do, but when you put God first and you're letting him help you, or, be in control, well, then you'll pass your test and your day will go a lot better. Doesn't it, Joseph? We know that. Praise the Lord. Now he says here, and most fortunate are those who were never born, for they have never seen all the evil that is done in our world. Now, is there a lot of evil in our world? Does there have to be a lot of evil in our world? No, it doesn't have to be. Who is it that controls whether evil comes or goes in our world? It's us, isn't it? It's us. Did you want to say something? No, okay. Yes, the evil that comes upon you is determined by the decisions you make every day. You make a decision to get mad at someone or to be happy with someone. You make a decision today whether I'm going to enjoy today or whether I'm going to be miserable today. Do you know that? You have that power within you. You make your decisions, Lord. I don't care what kind of test that comes my way today. I'm going to pass them. I'm not going to grumble and complain. I'm not going to get upset and scream and holler at nobody. I'm going to walk holy in your presence today. And you make that declaration, and he'll give you maybe 5 minutes to see if you're going to really do it. Somebody will walk in, and it could be just your husband. He might walk in, and he's had a bad day. And you're smiling, and you're just so, you're saying, Lord, I'm going to have a good day. I don't care what happens. And your husband will walk in and say, hi, honey, how are you doing? He said, don't talk to me. It's been a terrible day. Now then you're either going to say, whoa, well, at least you could talk nice to me. And, or you could jump down his throat, or you just run over and grab him and say, honey, I love you anyway, And now that's what you should do, right, when he's had a bad day. And if you do that and he's had a bad day, usually you'll be able to overcome it pretty quickly. But everybody don't do that. Sometimes when that day, whenever we throw that out and we're made that decision, we're going to have a good day, and somebody comes in and you're put to the test instead of walking in love, how easy is it to step out of love? Is it easy to step out of love? Oh, man, you can do it in a heartbeat. But whose decision is it to step out of love? It's yours. It's mine. You know, I can either walk in love or I can step out of love. Now, that if I step out of love and break God's rules, I'm going to give place to the oppressor, the devil, and his group of demons. And they're going to come upon me to ruin my day. They're going to make my day miserable. If I start grumbling and complaining, God says he hates grumbling and complaining. And so it's going to release these oppressors to come upon us, to oppress us, and it will cause our day to be bad. But we don't have to go there. We don't have to go there. We can walk holy, and we can walk in love as God's children. Can we not? Yeah. Sure we can. It's our choice. You know, just like I talked to lots of people about, as I've taught the scriptures about obeying. Romans 13 says, obey the laws of the land. Well, obey the laws of the land for a Christian. I mean, you should never see a Christian that speeds, should we? Nope. Because all Christians should obey the laws of the land. If the speed limit is 60, we should drive 60. If it's 70, we should drive 70. If it's 40, we should drive 40. You know, not if it's 40, we shouldn't drive 55. You know, but many of us don't do that. And we don't realize that we're breaking the rules and we're giving place to the oppressor. I mean, all the time when Cheryl and I was coming into church, hardly ever do we come down all the way from our house and we don't see at least one car pulled off to the side with the little red and blue lights up above him. You know, well, guess what they were doing? They were speeding. And sometimes we have one of them come flying by us. We're driving 60 in a 60-mile-an-hour zone or a 65 out there on 114, and somebody says, whew, a little blue car, and we get about 3 miles up the road, and we pass him as he's sitting on the right with a red and blue behind him sitting there blinking. So we get there a whole lot quicker than he did. He thought he was in a hurry, didn't he? But the oppressors came up on him because of his sin. Now, did he have to give place to that oppressor? No, he could have drove the speed limit, and then no problem. Then he could get there a lot faster. So, you know, this evil that's in the world, we see all this evil not knowing or understanding where this evil comes from. This evil comes from us. We give place to it, don't we? It's your choice every day. Are you going to walk in love? Did God command you to walk in love? Why do you think God commanded Jesus, when he was here over and over and over, he didn't say, Lori, if you want to today, walk in love. Did he, Lori? No, he didn't. What did he say to you? He said, I command you, didn't he? And that was only the king talking, right? So he must have had something good for you. Because he knows if I command you to love one another, what is your day going to go like if you do that? Oh, it's going to go a whole lot better. That's right. And you're going to be obeying the king, and you're going to be making him happy because you're walking in love. Yeah. Now, see, he knew how stiff-necked we were because, especially guys like me, Benjamin, he had to command me over and over and over to walk in love. I command you to walk in love. You know? He knows us guys, you know. Somebody says something about how guys are and what they do. I said, it's just a man thing. You get over it. It's just the way we are. You know, men, you know, like I tell all the men, if they want to make their wives happy on their birthday, get them a birthday card. You know, on Valentine's Day, stop by the store. If nothing, bring them one little red rose, but something. You know, bring them a flower. All girls like those kind of little things. Huh? Oh, or a diamond ring. Oh, okay. Or just bring her a diamond ring. She likes that too. So, you know, girls like those kind of things. Now, me, you see, I don't wear any diamond rings. You see, I don't care if anybody ever got me a birthday card again. Really, it makes no difference with me. You know, I'm a man, you know. You know, but don't mess with my toys, you know. I mean, whatever my toys are, whether it's my car, my boat, my airplane, or whatever kind of toys I got, don't mess with my toys. You know, don't come and tell me you want to borrow my toys, you know, because I don't want nobody to use my toys. Because usually when I let somebody use my toys, they come back broke, you know. And I don't like for somebody to break my toys. So when somebody says, can I borrow one of your airplanes? I say, no, 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 you can't borrow my airplane. I'll take you somewhere, but you can't borrow it. You know, I am not, never, one of my airplanes are never going to go out unless I'm in the cockpit seat, you know. Now, you can be over there with me, you can go with me, but I ain't loaning it to nobody because they get broke. I looked at one the other day. In fact, when Cheryl and I was down there in Florida, a guy had just bought a Mooney, a nice little airplane, and the first time he took it out and brought it back in after he bought it, he forgot to put the landing gear down. And he slid it in on the runway without any landing gear. That is a very expensive repair, for those of you that don't know. You know, so checklists are extremely important, and that's why I don't let people fly my airplanes, because they make mistakes. And so I don't like my toys tore up. But, you know, boys have expensive toys. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to buy little model airplanes for $3 or $4 or whatever, and I flew those, and yes, I did crash one once in a while. My toys were not very expensive. But now that I'm a grown man, especially an older grown man, my toys are a little more expensive. But I love my toys. Now, God give me the ability and knowledge and everything to enjoy toys on earth. And all I got to do is obey Him, and He's going to bless my socks off. Now, if you don't obey Him, you can have all kinds of pain and torment. And I see people all the time that don't get to enjoy their toys because they may have them, but they're not serving God, and so their life never goes right. And they don't understand that all you got to do is come across and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and put Him first. And when you put Him first, then you'll be able to enjoy life and it will be really worth living. You agree with that, brother? Amen. Life is good when you know the King and when you do what He says, right? Amen. He blesses us. He promised it, though, in His Word. So praise the Lord. But it's those that don't obey. Then He says, then I observe that the most people are motivated to succeed by their envy of their neighbor.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.